here goes out to all the babies, mamas, mamas.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer, bringing you everything there is to know this week in UNLV athletics, which is a very big one coming up on Wednesday, signing day for the football team. Signing Ray, are we calling this the best class in school history, or is it still arguably? Since we won't know how many of these kids really pan out the way that they're projected to, but.
Well, according to the projections, the best class in school history. Now, into consideration, services like Rivals.com have only been doing rankings since, 2003? So since
20? Interesting. I've heard these years referred to as a lot. I haven't heard 2002 and 2003 a lot.
I've heard that, just not a lot. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
So, since Rivals started doing what Rivals does – yes, it's UNLV's best class. I mean, to be in the 60s nationally of 123 teams is pretty good considering you're usually, 120 to 123. So 9 3-star recruits, including 2 from Bishop Gorman.
And would you have to, I guess, go back to whatever Randall's year was to have anything that would have a chance to kind of compete?
I mean, I guess you would. Harvey Hyde, who was Randall's coach, did a really good job of breaking the rules. I think we could say that now.
Like you could say that then, and it was pretty safe.
Yeah. But, Randall was at, Santa Barbara City College, I think, before he came here. So, talent-wise, UNLV's roster is in the process of being made over. How many of those players could contribute right away? Some of those JC players, surely. The four-year guys, ideally, I know Tony wants to start building up some talent. It's probably a good idea to redshirt.
All right. We'll jump into a little more of that, some names a little later. But first, basketball. We've got to get into what transpired over the past week, which, on paper, very huge, if not the biggest weekend of UNLV season. They end up going 1-1, get a victory against Boise State, and then lose at home by 15 to San Diego State. Ray, you were there. I was there. I was very surprised by the outcome. I thought UNLV was going to win this game. It just seemed like a good spot for them. What did you see as the reasons it didn't work? And then bigger picture, 4-5 through the first half of Mountain West play. I mean, what are we looking at here for the remainder of the regular season?
I think once Ben Carter went down with a knee injury, it kind of changed UNLV's mindset, and they went back to that team that was really reliant on the long ball, and they were, 5 of 23 on three-pointers?
Correct.
And moreover, when they did bring the ball inside or when the game went into the post at all, San Diego State, much more physical, out-rebounded UNLV, I believe, 44 to 27, had 7 block shots. They were nastier. And it just, went from a game where UNLV was, a shot or two away from, getting to play in the final 5 minutes to a game where people were leaving with 4 minutes to play and a double-digit deficit. So I think for me, UNLV just got away from wanting to do what it wanted to do. And I don't know how much of that you could blame on Ben Carter, but I think you realize how important he is. Not that you didn't know, but you realize how important that guy is to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with any of that necessarily. I just feel like that's, in the same way that any time a player gets down, it kind of behooves the coach to be like, oh, well, once that happened, what were we supposed to do? UNLV was playing a San Diego State game before Ben Carter went out. I changed, at halftime, I definitely expected San Diego State to win because he was gone, but also because things were already going their way. From the first, I talked about it on the ESPN radio pregame show, offensive rebounding was going to be huge for San Diego State. It always is. They need those buckets, those easy opportunities to make up for the fact that they can't shoot. What happened on the very first possession? UNLV gave up an offensive rebound, an easy putback. From the start, this was a San Diego State game. So even if Ben Carter was there, I think they were losing. I think the Aztecs just came out and did what they wanted to do. It wouldn't have ended up getting that far away, like that big of a margin, I don't think. But credit to San Diego State. They came in and they won the game.
And UNLV has no chance of beating that team in the tournament or any – the only way –
Oh, sure they do.
Dude, I just think that UNLV now is afraid of them.
No, because they'll convince themselves that with Ben Carter, if they are able to get them back, and that's a big if, as I don't expect good news out of that. We're sitting here recording this 12:15 on Monday afternoon. I've not heard anything official yet on Carter's injury. I'm not expecting a quick return, I'll say that.
I mean, he definitely was in a lot of pain. Anytime you slap the floor in
well,
pain.
Well, no. Guys are – Derrick Jones on the ground was in just as much pain at Reno. That's a – like, basketball guys – I've gone on this rant many times. Basketball players do not get enough credit for how similar they are to soccer players in terms of
– I was a soccer player. Be careful.
Overselling injuries. You know, screaming bloody murder and then being back on the court 2 minutes later. Like, Carter's I felt was different because it looked like a non-contact injury. And that's never a good sign. But him slapping the floor, yeah, the guys do that when they roll their ankle.
Dr. Byrne with and, the diagnosis.
Paul Pierce gets rolled out in a freaking gurney and then plays the rest
Pat
of the
McCaw,
game.
Pat McCaw, remember when at the end of the Boise game?
Well, yeah, that was cramps. That was obvious. Like, you know, there was a writer next to me, like, oh, my, which leg did you see? Like, he's cramping, man. Calm down. Just a personal rant. Sorry, personal rant. I got distracted there. Case Kiefer, you haven't said anything yet.
Well, because I want to give Brewer credit. He called the one-on-one, but he already just said something that made me just think it's a huge overstatement and absolutely ridiculous.
They could never beat this team.
If they play at the Thomas and Mack again tomorrow, UNLV's the favorite.
Yep.
Like, they can beat this team. San Diego State's not that special. This was a bad game. San Diego State, like you said, played exactly their way. They were more physical, and I didn't watch as close as you guys. I wasn't there. I was flipping back and forth a lot of things, and it just seemed like once they got down and – probably after the Ben Carter thing, some of these offensive possessions were just so terrible, so discombobulated. Brewer mentioned the bad three-point shooting percentage. It wasn't only that. I mean, some of these threes were just awful that they were taking. And I understand that's what San Diego State does. They take you out of your offense. They make it a messy game. But I still, even a 15-point loss, I'm not like, oh, my God, this team's on a different stratosphere than UNLV. There's no chance they run the table in the tournament. Bad loss. I was disappointed to see him play like this, but I'm not ready just to write off the season yet.
Yeah, take that, Brewer.
I'm not ready to write off the season either.
Well, if they absolutely can't beat them, then...
Well, you hope that maybe somebody who can beat them beats them before they play UNLV.
All right, that's the only way.
You know, you got to take...
You're so defeated here today.
My mother, who's retired, 70 years old, just retired, she's taken a keen interest in UNLV. Like, reads all your stories on her iPad, watches all the games. And so I go to pick her up Sunday, and she's like, and you got to – have you met my mom?
Yeah.
Oh, she's old, right? Not like – she's not like your
mom. Does she listen to the podcast also?
No, she does not. But my mom's like, boy, that's Steven Zimmerman. I just felt like giving him a hug and something to eat.
That's a funny reaction.
I actually think I saw something very similar to that. I don't know, some fan or something on Twitter was saying they just felt so bad for Zimmerman because of how this game went for him. So yeah. I think your mom is kind of on par with some.
Yeah. I like that little hook that Zimmerman has developed.
Sure.
A little running hook.
He's not efficient, you know, 6 of 12. Like, that's just kind of what he is this year. But he went out and he got rebounds. No one else did on the team, especially as we mentioned after Carter went out. Carter played 5 minutes, was out with 10:46 remaining in the first half with what they called a left knee sprain. MRI results, we're still waiting for those. It could end up being worse than that. If not, then, you know, maybe a couple of weeks and he could be back. Because that's what, I mean, it already was about the conference tournament for UNLV. But, you know, losing to San Diego State, I think, really puts the focus on that. You know, there were some people, I mean, myself included, I don't want to just write off, you know, I have to go to all nine of these games. I don't want them to mean absolutely nothing. But I do understand now, especially league-wide, the race is over. Like, it's done. San Diego State has a three-game lead with nine to play, and they haven't lost yet. And they've already played at Boise at Fresno and at UNLV. Like, your 2015-16 regular season champs are the San Diego State Aztecs. That's done. So I guess, you know, what are we looking for with UNLV after each game? If it's, you know, let's say, so Tuesday, tomorrow, they're playing at the Pit, going to New Mexico. If they just get blown out, Ray, is your reaction, still got 8 games, just figure it out with those couple of games before the Mountain West tournament and hope you can do something there? Like, is every post game going to be, well, whatever, I hope they play like this in the tournament, or I hope they don't play like that in the tournament? Is that, like, going to be the mentality?
I mean, again, I just think that knowing you have to win 3 games in 3 days and knowing there's only one team that
you got to make sure that it's not 4.
Either way, it could be 5 games in 5 days because you could beat every other team in the league except for San Diego State.
Man, they stole your soul on Saturday.
No, I'm just saying,
I did not
realize
this. This
is reality, Taylor. This isn't like – listen, I get accused of being too pro-UNLV and too homerish and glass always half fill and full. And bottom line, dude, is San Diego State came into the MAC and totally slapped UNLV around.
I think the criticism has passed that. Now we need like a line graph to track your emotions. It would be the craziest thing ever. Well, it's like when things are going good, you are so high.
Part of the four, at what part of that game are you like, oh, UNLV is going to beat San Diego State?
Twice. With about 16 minutes to play in the second half, UNLV. I mean, they were down 3 at halftime. This was not a blow. And guess what? Right before halftime, you could have been down 1, but you gave up another freaking offensive rebound. Like, that was – that's where they lost the game to me, was their second chance points and all of that. Anyway, they came out first play of the second half and alley-ooped to Derrick Jones, and then they were down 1 with 16 to go and nearly get a shot clock violation. Trey Kell has to heave up a prayer, and he hits a 3. All right, so if he doesn't hit that, the roof is about to come off the MAC. UNLV has the ball down 1 going, so would have taken the lead, most likely. Then with it was about 11 to play, I think, in the second half, similar situation. UNLV has momentum. People are on their feet, down only 1 again. And then Dakari Allen, who is a 26 or 27% three-point shooter, hits a 3. Like, UNLV was there, and then it was kind of it was really after that shot that they never recovered. You know, so it was halfway through the second half.
And to me, San Diego State is like the worst offensive team in the world, right? That's an exaggeration,
yeah, I mean,
but they're bad.
They're not good.
Every time they play UNLV, the 11th guy on their bench gets in the game, and somehow he's like Larry Bird. Literally, three-pointer Larry Bird, swish. Three-pointer, you know, Steph Curry, swish. Not rattle in, not, oh, my God, why are you taking it? Feet set, body forward, jump, follow through, swish, run to the other side of the court. Every time.
Well, if you just grab a rebound, then that's fine because they shot 36% on their first shots.
Made the ones that counted.
They shot 78% on their second shots. And it's because you gave them so many of those shots.
Taylor Byrne, master of the math. Yes.
I was frustrated with the game, I think. In a, you know, similar way to what fans would have been, and just you know what San Diego State is. UNLV knew what to prepare for, and then they didn't execute it. You know, not tough enough on the boards without Ben Carter. You know, ball did not move around very well. Jerome Seegers, they got open threes, but there's a reason a lot of them were open. You know, he was 1 of 7. This is the worst 3-point shooting season of his career. And he's now, you know, it's like 2 of 12 over the last 3 games or so. So just as Seegers even had you know, kind of turned a corner, was having a really couple really good games in a row with assists and just getting into the lane and things, then, you know, kind of the familiar problems pop up. You look like you want to say something, Case.
No, I feel like I don't watch – I'm not at every UNLV game like you guys, and I don't see everyone. And sometimes I'm just flipping back and forth. I just think I have bad timing, but I haven't seen Seegers do something good all year. I kind of feel bad. Like, if there's one player
there
that I can't stand watching on this team, and I know I'm being unfair because, like I said, I don't have the full sample size, but he just drives me absolutely crazy watching this guy, who I think UNLV's season, at least in Brewer, convinced me of this at the beginning of the year, is going to hinge a lot on him.
Yeah, I mean, that
would Brewer was high on him.
Well, I mean, I wasn't. No, that wasn't even a shot towards you. I just meant you were high on him, and that was one of the reasons why you said they were going to be so good.
I tell you who's been disappointing, though. And every time he shoots, I feel like I could jump out of there and have a better chance of it going in, is Nwamu. Would you agree with me?
I mean, he's definitely struggled.
Jesus Christ. And he's shooting the worst. I guess I shouldn't say that. He's just shooting the worst possible shots you could ever imagine. I'm like, at least take a high percentage shot instead of, like, pull up and transition three that hits the bottom of the net. You're like,
this is why I'm saying it's timing, and then, because I'm assuming that Seager's made a couple shots. I didn't see him do anything good in this game, but two times when I switched and watched for a few minutes, I know I saw Nwamu hit two threes in that game. And he probably missed a whole bunch that I missed. I don't think he's great by any means, and I know he does have a tendency to take some bad shots, but I just feel like I'm much more on the same wavelength
than him for some reason. And then Jordan Cornish, two technical foul shots, missed them both. Right?
Yep.
Which, that guy's having the sophomore slump of sophomore slumps.
He had busted out of it there for a nice long stretch.
I still think, and I hate to go back three or four games, but you remember the end of the Reno game? He takes the ball to the hole, scores, and they call the offensive foul.
I don't remember whether the ball went in, but
goes in.
I remember the charge. It was right in front of me, yeah.
If that's called the block, UNLV wins that game.
Probably.
I don't know if it was a charge or not. I'm not a good referee, but yeah. I mean, he was out of control, but I don't know if that guy got there in time. Anyways, New Mexico, a team they thoroughly beat in game one of the Todd Simon tenure.
Yep.
They should be capable of playing with them because New Mexico doesn't have anybody that, you know, is going to take you out in a back alley and punch you in the tummy. So,
I don't know. I wasn't with you until you said tummy. That seems like something Cullen Neal might say and or do.
No, but, you know.
I'm about to get him in the tummy.
Yeah. So, I think UNLV will have a chance to compete. I don't know. What do they call the pit now?
Wise Pies Arena.
I don't know if the Wise Pie Arena will be thumping with Albuquerqueans all excited. But, you know, UNLV's 2-5 in true road games. For my own sanity, they got to win on Saturday. If they lose at Fresno, I'm going to be – just don't even bother me. I won't be here on Monday.
Speaking of sanity, let's end with something a little more positive. You want to talk about some of the recruits that they're going to be signing on Wednesday, the guys that you either think are going to be the biggest pieces or even just that it's impressive that they got them? Just, you know, what are your thoughts on UNLV's recruiting class?
I mean, for me, Armani, is that how you say it, Case?
Armani Rogers.
Armani Rogers, 4-star recruit by ESPN and 3-star by Rivals, who was initially committed to Cal, somehow finds his way to UNLV. I think that's a huge score. He's probably more of a runner than a thrower right now, but the talent is there, and with Stanton, the JC kid, as your clear-cut favorite to be the quarterback, you could develop this kid and have him, you know, kind of do like Palandek did this year, come in a little bit for Decker as a true freshman and then have 3 years of the kid. So red shirt, true freshman a little bit, and then have him for 3 years. And, you know, if UNLV could develop players like I think they can – I think they hit an absolute home run. The other kid I like is Charles Williams. He's from the Fresno area, a sprinting champion, could do a little bit of everything, wide receiver and defensive back. I think he's going to pan out to be a real good player. A lot of guys UNLV got, they won battles against other teams in the Mountain West, which when you consider they're 3-9, they play virtually in front of nobody, and a lot of these recruits, they have like 15, no less than 15 recruits at every home game this year. Some of those home games, there was barely 15 people there. And to still get kids, so Tony Sanchez, the former Xerox salesman, he went around selling copiers, is definitely doing a good job recruiting. Now, is that going to translate onto the field? Could you develop these players? Could you push some kids through the program who are nice kids but probably not nice D1 football players? What are you going to do on that offensive line? To be announced. But I think Wednesday is a banner day for UNLV football. They should be proud of themselves.
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement at last year's signing day. And, you know, comparing the classes, this one is significantly better. You know, there's just a lot to build on, guys, kind of at every position. I'm not sure. What do you think as far as the offensive line? Is there any kind of immediate help there, or are they still a year or two away from being able to develop what they need to there?
Well, I think two things. I think, one, I think the Polo kid will be ready to play.
And that's Justin Polo from Silverado.
Okay. So they redshirted him, one of the few players they redshirted. And I think the Jaron Caldwell kid, three-star recruit, about 6'3", 320 from Gorman, I think he plays right away. I think he starts every game for 4 years.
Oh, if he's actually 320, I guarantee you Tony will throw him in there because he hated how tiny they were along the offensive line.
He's listed at 305.
Is he 305?
But, I mean, I actually agree with everything Brewer said. I think this is
he's a good kid. I know they were worried, or they still are worried, that he might get poached by a Pac-12 school. And, you know, Zach Singer, who played for Tony at Gorman, who was his center for 3 years, who I
loved. Brewer did not.
Yes. he had a complete ACL tear, so he probably isn't even going to be ready. But the center wasn't bad last year. He was probably
– My guy.
He was. I don't know his name. Neither do you.
I'm blanking on it. I'm in complete basketball mode now.
Too. What year was it?
Just he's right a junior. Now. He's going to be a senior. He came over from Scottsdale Community College, played 1 year with Blake Decker when he was down there. I'm going to get made fun of by our friends at UNLV Athletics. He was my pick to click, and I've tried. And I don't think we ever actually got an announced winner on that. I was really trying to make the case.
Who did I have?
How do I not remember his name? This is bad. This is so bad.
Anyways, I think that if you start looking at the line moving forward, Singer will plug in at center because Tony loves him and he knows the offense. The Caldwell kid, I think, is your weak side tackle. The Polo kid has got to be in the mix. And so you've got a chance now to be semi-competitive up front. And for UNLV's offense to work, they're going to need to run the rock. So we'll see if, in fact, they can run the rock.
You find it? Will Creeler?
Yes.
I didn't want to ruin it for you. I looked through the roster
and I couldn't find
it. He was good. He was actually, man. I don't know how he graded out, but to me, he was good.
This is my worst performance ever.
There was a couple spots on the offensive line from the games I was at where I actually thought they played pretty well. I mean, clearly there were some huge areas where they needed fixing, but I think the offensive line, like, it might not have even been as big of a disaster as we thought at the beginning of the year. Whereas the defense, I think, was a bigger disaster.
I don't know. I mean, Blake Decker was only hurt for like half the year.
That's true.
Well, he was injury prone, though.
Okay, but if we're calling him the worst offensive line in the nation and all this stuff, which I know we were at the beginning of the year, we wouldn't be saying, oh, we've got a good center going forward. We'd say we need to blow this entire thing up.
Yeah. Positives to build on there. Very exciting signing day for UNLV football. Less exciting, but still something to do for UNLV basketball. Road games here Tuesday at New Mexico, Saturday at Fresno. Hopefully they can – I just hope they keep showing up to games like this. I don't want them to fold, just kind of pack in the season because that's not fun for anybody to follow.
I could promise you this. After the crowd they had at the MAC that was so disappointed on Saturday, it'll be crickets for the next home game.
That's true. I agree with that, and we will close – on that note, prove Ray wrong by attending the next home game in about a week and a half, although I'm sure many people won't because I saw how many people left with 7 minutes to play against San Diego State. So for Case, for Ray, and for Will Kreitler, I am Taylor Byrne, and we'll talk to you guys next week. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.